Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We are here live to address your questions and real-life issues and invite your calls to 1-800-677-9377. If there's something you'd like to talk about, call now, 1-800-677-9377. The Word of God offers true freedom and life in Jesus Christ, and we invite you to listen and take part to learn how the basic gospel intersects with your life every day. Hear it, believe it, live it. It's Basic Gospel. Now, here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're talking about the resurrection, and you know, all of the New Testament kind of sits on top of the resurrection. We see in all of Paul's writings, Peter's writings, all of these things, we see verses that say that we should live lives worthy of our calling, that we should be holy as he is holy, or to have our behavior be holy. We see that we're to forgive as God in Christ has forgiven us, that we're to love as God in Christ has loved us. We're to accept others as God in Christ has loved us. And those would be impossibilities without the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the power that his resurrection brings to each and every one of us. I think that's why Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 3, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. The Christian life would be an impossibility to each and every one of us apart from Christ and apart from his resurrection power. And I think one of the sad tragedies of the church today and the Christian world today is that so many believers have resigned themselves to a powerless, unfulfilled existence. They read so much in the Word of God, and they just throw their hands up in utter despair, saying, it's hopeless. I can't do that. I would like to do that, but I have no way or means of accomplishing all of these things that God is laying out for us to do. Well, what's missing? Well, they're not connected to the power of the resurrection. They're not tapping into the power of God's Spirit that is alive, living in them. And so they just resign themselves to, you know, a mediocre existence with the hope for with the hope for something better down the road. But we're here to tell you that there's power available to you right now, and that power is available to you through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Temptation is going to knock at your door. You have the power to say no. There's desires of the Spirit that are working inside of you. You have the power to say yes and actually carry those out. You have the power to forgive. You have the power to accept others as Christ has accepted you. You have the power to love others. It's not from you. It's from Christ who lives in you. And we're encouraging you through this program to tap into that power, to not resign yourself, but to long with Paul exactly this. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. Yeah. You adopt that as a personal prayer. I guarantee you God's going to answer it in ways far beyond your imagination. Yeah. He wants the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ to flow through you so that you can experience all that he's called you to be and be able to do all that he's called you to do.
Yeah.
That is the good news.
Yeah, that's exactly why we tell people, don't stop at the cross. As wonderful as the cross is, don't stop there. You have to go to the resurrection.
Right. Because it wasn't just the cross.
No, it wasn't.
The gospel isn't just the cross. It's the death, the burial, and the resurrection. That is the complete story.
Yes.
Well, this is Basic Gospel. My name is Bob Christopher, along with Richard Piper. We welcome you today. Our phone lines are open right now, 1-800-677-9377. That's 1-800-677-9377. If you have something on your mind, a question that relates to life and how the resurrection might be the answer to your problem, we would love to hear from you. Again, that number, 1-800-677-9377. Well, we're going to start today, Richard, in Brooklyn, New York, and talk with Eugene, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Eugene.
Hello.
Hello, Eugene. Welcome.
Hello, how you doing? How you guys doing, my fellow Christian co-workers in Christ? How are you guys?
Doing fine, man.
Okay, I had a question. This is not on the resurrection, but I was reading Genesis, and I was reading in Genesis 1, in the very beginning, it says God created heaven and earth. And then it goes on the account of the things that God created in the earth.
Uh-huh.
But it says that God created mankind. Now, in Genesis chapter 2, it talks about the account of when God created Adam and Eve. Now, this is the first part of my question. I'm just going to say everything and then I'll listen to your answer. But the first part of the question is, is it going in a different order? Because it says when it first started, the heavens and earth was already, God already created that. Now, then they say he created mankind, so Adam and Eve were already created. So when they go into chapter 2, they speak about when he did create man, because we know Adam was created first. And what confuses me is when Cain killed Abel and God was sending Cain out, Cain was afraid because he said that he would be killed. Now, who was there to kill him? There was people there. Is this the mankind, the people that God created? So that's kind of my question, and I'll wait for your answer.
Okay, Eugene, we certainly appreciate you asking that, and that's a common question,
yeah,
isn't
it?
Where did all these people come from? And I think the Bible, I mean, it doesn't give an exact answer, but I think when you look at how it's laid out, there's some incredible implications there.
Uh-huh.
So what about the creation of Adam and Eve in the first chapter and then going into the second chapter, giving some detail as how that occurred? How do you answer that? Are those two separate creations or just a different retelling of the same event?
Yeah, well, chapter one is written as poetry, believe it or not, and its purpose is to state the overwhelming power of the one true God. Remember, Moses is writing all of this way after the fact, and God is giving him all this history so that the children of Israel can know their place in the universe. And so he writes this amazing poetry in chapter 1 to explain an omnipotent God taking the initiative to create a world, a universe, and us. Chapter 2 changes into narrative, and so it goes from poetry to story, and for the next several chapters, Moses is laying out a completely different view of it. It's not a second creation or an alternative creation. It's more of an explanation of, in the face of creation, here's what happened when man fell, and God again had to take initiative not to destroy them, but in order to give them a way out and to give them hope for the future. And then it keeps leading up to Israel and then finally to us. And so the two parts of the story are very different kinds of stories, but it's the retelling of the same events.
Yes, indeed. Now, what about Cain and he's afraid that he might be killed? Where did all those people who posed a threat to him come from?
Well, we have to assume, the Bible doesn't say, we have to assume that when God told Adam and Eve to be fruitful and multiply, that's what they did. And when you're dealing with unknown time, because we don't know how long they lived in the garden, we don't know what all of that was, they had to have children, and those children had to have children, and they multiplied fairly quickly when you've got people who are living 900-plus years. And by the time Cain was an adult, there were more than enough people around. It wasn't like God said, okay, here's Adam and Eve, and they're unique, and the rest of you slobs will crawl out of the ooze. God created everything. And so Adam and Eve got started, and all the rest of us have come as a result.
Eugene, does that help?
Yeah, it does. It does help. And one more thing, and just for you to answer this last part. In the book of Jeremiah 4, verse 24, it talks about, Jeremiah is talking about the earth was formless. Now, I heard someone telling me that this part that Jeremiah is talking about was the beginning. I read the verse. I don't agree with it, but I wanted to get your outtake on it. Was Jeremiah did he go back when he talks about the earth was formless? Do you understand Jeremiah 4:24? Is he talking about these events?
About the events in Genesis?
Yeah.
And you're saying
I heard a pastor that was linking it together, and I didn't agree with it, but I said, I'll do my own research. I did my research, and it seemed like Jeremiah was talking about the judgment that God was going to bring on to Israel. But the pastor was saying that Jeremiah was talking about in Genesis how the earth was formless. He used a verse to talk about this time, saying that Jeremiah was talking about that, but I didn't get that when I read it in Jeremiah. So I just wanted to get your outtake. It's Jeremiah 4:24.
Yeah, well, I think there probably is a connection to Genesis, but in the sense that sin is kind of undoing all that God created. And that brings us back to the gospel message, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. That's the undoing of sin and death. That's when sin and death kind of meet their end, and Jesus starts to restore everything as it was in the very beginning. And so, yes, that's part of this great narrative that's being unfolded in the Word of God. There was a plan in God's mind as far as people and human beings were concerned. We were to reflect His glory. We were to bear His image. Sin changed all that,
yeah.
And it kind of undid all that was put into place at the beginning. But that certainly didn't thwart God's plan for mankind and for His people. All that was going to be reversed again in Christ. So we're first made alive individually. We're added to a body. We become the people of God that reflect His image in this world, and we're ultimately going to be the people of God that stand with Him eternally and whom He stands with eternally as well. So,
yeah.
Eugene, good questions. We sure appreciate it.
All right, thanks so much. Have a blessed day.
You too. 1-800-677-9377 is the number. Again, that's 1-800-677-9377. We would love to hear from you on today's broadcast. If you have something in mind, a problem situation that you are struggling with, go ahead and pick up that phone. We would love to hear from you. Well, let's go to John in Yonkers listening to us on WMCA. Hi, John.
Hey, guys. The topic is tongues. When Paul speaks of speaking in tongue, doesn't he say there should be an edification of it? Is it an actual speaking with the Holy Spirit, or is it a language, meaning a language just like a foreign language? You know.
Well, John, I think from the Word of God, from what we see in the Book of Acts, it looks like it's a known language, so people there were hearing the gospel message in their own native tongue on the day of Pentecost.
Right.
So I think it's a gift more on the evangelistic side of things. It's to enable somebody to hear the gospel in their language and respond. It's kind of interesting.
Right. You get some groups where they actually, I've been there where they're talking like something like, it's not a known language, like it's something, what I mean?
Yeah,
it's
angelic language or some type of heavenly
language.
Yeah.
Is that from God? Is that?
Well, it talks about in 1 Corinthians, both chapters 12 and 14, it talks about this being a gift of the Spirit. So if it's just you and you're trying to edify yourself, your spirit is speaking, you don't really understand what it's saying, but it edifies
right.
you in some way. Well, what Paul is saying is these gifts aren't about you. These gifts are about the body. These gifts are to equip you to serve the body, to build up the body, to encourage
the
body
right.
in such a way that the church can carry out its mission in the world at large. So we want to use those things as almost a spiritual badge. It was interesting. I was talking to Jeannie, our receptionist, at lunch today, and she was asking about the subject for our Sunday message coming up this weekend. And I said, well, we're going to be speaking out of 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And I said, you know, we're going to be talking about speaking in tongues and what Paul says about that. And she said,
if it doesn't do the church any good, it's better to be silent.
Yeah.
In other words.
Yeah. Well, she was saying, listen to this story. She was saying that in a church that she was involved in years ago, the pastor spoke in tongues and he wanted to teach everybody in the church how to speak in tongues. And so he had classes, and she went to one of those classes, and she said on one occasion something came out of her mouth. Never came out of her mouth again, but because it came out that one time, the pastor gave her a little pin to wear saying that she spoke in tongues. So it became a spiritual badge. Look, I'm more spiritual than you because I speak in tongues.
Yeah.
Well, that was self-edification. That's not body edification. And so Paul was admonishing the Corinthians for that very reason. They wanted to edify themselves, and in doing so, they missed the whole point of spiritual gifts totally. God equips us. The Holy Spirit gifts us with these things for the sake of the body. It's not about us. It's about the body. And if we'll have that in mind, then we will understand the way of love that Paul is actually speaking about in those particular chapters.
You guys go to your pastor, and what church is it?
We have a little fellowship group that meets on Sundays, and you can join in on that online. We can put you on hold and tell you how to join in with that for the next couple of weeks. Okay.
I thought you guys had in the city of Calvary Church or something like that, or no? That's what I thought.
Yeah, no, that's not us.
Oh, okay.
Okay, right. John. Hey, thanks for your call.
Right,
you hang on. It's kind of interesting. I want to go back to the Adam and Eve story, because that really is a significant story, isn't it? It's not one that we're just to put off to Sunday school for little elementary kids to learn and that sort of thing. It really is kind of the foundation of this whole gospel account, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely.
And as far as Adam and Eve, when they sinned, what did that bring about? What happened as a result of their sin?
Well, one thing immediately happened, and that was they lost contact with God through the Spirit. So we describe that as dying spiritually. But after that, every ounce of trouble that has ever happened in this world is a direct result of their fall. I mean, God told them that even something as beautiful and blessed as birthing children would be tainted by sin. Something as beautiful and blessed as cultivating the earth and watching plants grow would be tainted by sin. Every aspect of life would be torn apart if it wasn't for Jesus. And I love the fact that our caller went to Jeremiah, and you are exactly right. That's a description of what would have happened if God hadn't stepped in and said, I love these people so much that I'm going to solve this problem for them. Because we literally gave up everything as a result of Adam and Eve saying, well, we don't want to be there.
Yeah, the consequence of sin is death.
Absolutely.
I mean, sin brought death into the world. And that happened immediately. I mean, Adam and Eve witnessed death when God killed an animal to clothe them with. They saw death. They saw the result, the consequence of their sin. And that's just worked itself through all of creation. I know we talk a lot about cancer in the world today. Mm-hmm. It's front and center in all medical reports, and we're desperately trying to find a cure for cancer. And one of the most deadly cancers is a skin cancer called melanoma.
Yeah.
And it starts out as just something very small, maybe on on the back. It looks benign. It looks, you know, like not, you know, like it's no big deal. Mm-hmm. But it just works its way through the whole body and brings death. It's a powerful disease, and that's basically what sin did. It started out there in the garden, and we read the story, and we say, "Well, that's no big deal. They ate a fruit," but my goodness, it was more powerful than that. It was a whole attitude that consumed them. The idea that they could be independent of God, that they could actually exist and could have meaning and purpose apart from Him. Rebellion entered into their hearts, and that rebellion produced death, and that death has been passed to all of us. And there's only one way of escape, and that's resurrection. That's why the resurrection is the heart and soul of the gospel. We who were dead can be made alive because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Yes. If He had not been raised, we would be without hope in this world. And as Paul wrote in that 1 Corinthians 15 chapter on resurrection, the resurrection of the body, we might as well eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die.
Yeah.
There is nothing beyond our existence if Jesus hadn't been raised. But the fact that he was raised means that we can have hope for a life after death.
Yes.
And we can experience it here and now through faith in Jesus. No, we don't have a resurrected body, and no, sin isn't totally been eradicated as far as from our presence, but we have the Holy Spirit living in us, and we get a taste right now of what's up ahead.
Yes.
And that taste is given to us through the power of the resurrection.
And that taste will never be taken away.
Absolutely.
It's ours forever.
Indeed, indeed. Well, let's go to Jeffersonville, Indiana, and talk with Tom. Hi, Tom.
Hey, how are you guys?
Doing well. Nice to hear from you.
Nice to hear. Thank you. I just had a question. I've been reading through Hebrews, and I've been noticing the name of Melchizedek, I think I'm saying that right, is just being mentioned a lot. And then I was reading about how it said that, you know, how he has no lineage, he was never born and never died. And I guess I was just wanting to get you guys' opinion on who or what he was or what he is.
Tom, that's a great question.
Yeah.
He was the king of Salem, mm-hmm. and he just showed up one day.
In the story.
We know nothing about him. There's no backstory given as far as Melchizedek is concerned. But Abraham had gone, defeated some kings. He had gathered up some spoils. He was coming back home, and Melchizedek meets him along the way. And Abraham recognizes something great about this Melchizedek. Melchizedek blesses him with bread and wine, and in response, Abraham gives him a tenth of his spoils. And that became a foreshadowing of the priesthood of Christ. So Melchizedek is compared to Christ. He's a type of Christ. So in the same way that we do not know his beginning or his end, so is Jesus. He had no beginning, has no end. He basically is the Alpha and the Omega. And so his priesthood stands forever. It's an eternal priesthood, unlike the Levitical priesthood. Those guys, they stepped into office, they stayed in office for as long as they were alive, and when they died, the next generation stepped into their shoes and carried on. But Jesus lives forever, and because he lives forever, he's able to save us completely. So Melchizedek simply is a foreshadowing of the person and work of Jesus Christ, specifically the priesthood that he fulfills today on our behalf. Well, Tom, we sure appreciate your call, and thank all of you for joining us on today's broadcast. We're quickly coming to the end of the program. We want to remind you of our offer, Resurrection Power for Living. It's a four CD series that's available for a gift of any amount. If you'll go to basicgospel.net, you'll find out all the information. Well, have a great weekend. We will see you again on Monday at this same time.